This is the FCB Podcast Network.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
Well, hey everybody, welcome back to Just Listen to Yourself Plus. I've got a repeat guest today as someone who has been on and received a lot of great compliments. I believe the last time he was on, we talked about philosophy a lot, which was really interesting. I'm really happy and proud to welcome back Christian Watson. He's the national spokesperson for Color Us United. And a story came across my, first of all, welcome Christian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for being, thank you for letting me be here. Appreciate it.
Of course, I really enjoyed our conversation last time. And then the story came across the wire this week that really interested me because it's something that I had recently heard about, recently, like in the last year, and was sort of shocked by it. So I got this email from Color Us United that talks about how the Salvation Army is really getting into diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, which are basically an outcropping of CRT. So everything you know about CRT, it applies to DEI. I know these are a lot of acronyms, but get to know them because they're coming to a school or an organization near you. And one of the things that this email said, I'm just going to read it and then I'll have you comment, Christian, fill in some of the details. The Salvation Army has urged their members in the Central Territory to attend, quote, unconscious bias training as part of their DEI initiatives. Unconscious bias says that people have racist beliefs that they aren't aware of. The Army has also hosted speakers like Dominique Gilliard, who promote the idea that privilege is a consequence of sin. That blew my mind. Privilege is a consequence of sin. To make matters worse, the Army has a chief diversity officer on their payroll. These divisive and biblically unsound policies do not help a single poor child. They impede the very spirit of the Salvation Army. I quite agree, Christian. What is going on in the Salvation Army?
Yeah, we should also, just for more bigger picture purposes, It's not just the Army. Unfortunately, diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI as it's phrased, is ubiquitous across America. It's ubiquitous across corporate America. When I was in university, my university office had a diversity, equity, and inclusion office. Like they paid a person a full salary to push this stuff and to work hand in hand with the administration to push this stuff. So unfortunately, this is very widespread. But yes, the Army has embraced this. So last year, Color Us United, we made at our mission to encourage the Army, Salvation Army, to retract a curriculum they had on the website titled Let's Talk About Racism, in which they urged their members to repent for the church's supposed racism, and in which they incorporated critical race theory themes in their curriculum. And so we said, you know what? Your members don't appreciate this. Your donor base does not appreciate this. The Army has always been a colorblind force for good in American life. Mm-hmm. So we managed to get a lot of Salvationists to sign our petition, thousands of them. And we convinced Commissioner Hodder, the head of the Salvation Army in America, to retract that curriculum. Now, in that same video in which he announced he was retracting the curriculum, he was pulling it for review, so to speak, not retracting it, pulling it for review, he said that he stands by diversity, equity, and inclusion fully, with no exceptions. Wow. So he said those exact words, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so what we're trying to do here at Color Us United, we're trying to say, A, diversity, equity, and inclusion actually does not help a single poor anyone, child or anyone in poverty. And that's part of the Salvation Army's mission to do the most good. Not only that, but DEI actually runs counter to every single thing the Army preaches. You know, the Bible clearly says there's not a Jew nor Gentile. There's only one in God. Mm-hmm. Well, DEI clearly says there is all these different races and classes and divisions, earthly divisions, and we need to look at those things as we create policy. That is an anti-biblical viewpoint. And the fact is, given all the Salvation Army has achieved in America, especially being one of the first organizations to support integration and to give to all races in the 1800s and in the late 19th century, that should tell you everything you need to know about the history of this organization and the good it has done. But DEI threatens that beautiful legacy. So we're just asking Commissioner Hodder, please say that DEI does not help a single person in poverty and continue to move the Army along to more greener and positive pastures.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're, is this just something that the Color Us United, it's just another one of the cases that you guys have picked up and you're focusing on, or do you have a history with the Salvation Army? How did you get in, how did you get into this particular issue inside the Army?
Yeah, so I mean, last year when we were representing several members within the Army to urge the Army to rescind their Let's Talk About Racism petition, that's when we really started to get into involved in all this stuff. And now we've come back. But yeah, no, we're not just coming in here and doing our bidding. Mm-hmm. We have talked to many Salvationists who feel the same way that we do, and they have asked for our help. And so we are here standing on a solid ground, standing on the solid ground of support of the Salvationist. And we are here to give voices to people who may not have the social or political capital to do so.
Well, it's interesting because one of the reasons I was interested in this is because I spoke to a guy. I was, you know, doing a gig and the guy was working sound or whatever. We were chatting in between takes, and he talked about how he grew up in the Salvation Army. His parents were missionaries with the Salvation Army, and he basically grew up in that church. And it was a very interesting experience because it's a service-oriented organization, right? And so he had this really cool life of growing up in service and how that shaped him. And he said he had recently left the Salvation Army because it was too woke. And that blew my mind. I was like, what, the Salvation Army? Because what I've known of them, of course, besides their great charity work, is that they're also very strict about rules when it comes to charity. And because they understand, they were sort of the original purveyors of charitable organizations and churches in the nation. I mean, they had one of the biggest programs and most effective programs during the Great Depression. And but one of their things always was accountability, right? And they have a drug treatment program. So back in Gary, Indiana, I knew the Salvation Army as a place where you went to, you know, to the thrift store. But also, it was a place that had a really structured program in our community for people who were trying to get out of addiction. And they were very strict. They were very much, you know, you have a curfew, you have to work, you know, you have to earn. And the DEI, as it pertains to CRT, we can use these terms interchangeably at this point. That is a whole philosophy that pushes accountability onto somebody else. So that little nugget that stuck out to me, Christian, in that press release, which was privilege is a consequence of sin. It almost feels like here's the party that's sinful and here's the party that can bestow grace. But there's no like God in there or Jesus in there. I just thought, whoa, that's totally counterintuitive to what the message of the church is.
Yeah, so this is precisely what happens when you mix worldly ideologies with the Bible. What you get is a incoherent mess. So what you're referring to is Dominique Gillard, who came to the Salvation Army's Metropolitan Division to give a speech on the relationship, the supposed relationship between privilege and sin. And his thesis is that privilege is actually a result of sin, and that biblical justice, which is actually just another word for racial justice, can only be achieved when this relationship is recognized and it's challenged. Now, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says anything about privilege being, I mean, if you believe in Christ's sacrifice, we're all privileged to have his blood shed for us. Privilege is a sort of universal thing that we can have in Christ if we achieve if we lay our lives before him and we serve him. But this guy is saying, oh, no. We have to talk about privilege as it manifests through structural inequalities. Again, this is mixing two things which have no relationship, no overlap at all, and trying to create some biblical thesis out of it. Not only is it insulting to every Christian who really believes in the significance of Christ's sacrifice, it's also insulting to the hundreds of years of foundation the Salvation Army has laid for their charitable work. Mm-hmm. When you challenge that foundation with these heretical ideas, you threaten the very basis of the army. So yeah, the fact that they are opening their doors up to that kind of apostasy is concerning to me.
Yeah, the Salvation Army's mission has always been about choice, accountability, and charity. So all of these things mixed together. I was reading a really great article. I've never been able to find it. It was a print article from maybe 25 years ago in Time magazine. Anybody out there knows where this article exists? I've always looked for it online. Send it to me. But it was a wonderful write-up of lengthy, maybe 10,000 words on the Salvation Army and charity. And it talked about how their methods were considered controversial during the Great Depression because they were telling people it's important for you to work. You know, alcoholism was spreading in communities and men particularly were falling prey to it. And they were saying part of salvation is being accountable for yourself and serving the community. And so these requirements extend dignity to a person, right? Work extends dignity. That's why they have the thrift stores. You know, work extends dignity. And now this DEI philosophy says, no, it's someone else's fault that you're in the position you're in. And those are the people that need to work. You don't need to work. And what you said was just spot on, Christian. It's not biblical justice. There's only one justice in the Bible. That is the justice of Christ, of salvation. And it is beyond humans, our understanding of what justice is. And you're right. We're all privileged because we have the privilege of availing ourselves of the cross without having to work for it. You know, that's grace. That's the ultimate privilege. Someone else doing our work for us, but someone, the one person who can. So this to me runs counterintuitive to everything the army stands for. Is the leadership of the army still Christian, or is it like, what's going on here?
Yeah. So, and I do want to emphasize, I'm happy you mentioned the leadership. This, the army has thousands of members of everyday salt of the earth people who are just trying to, as the motto says, do the most good. Mm-hmm. And a vast majority of them wants nothing to do with what the leadership has been trying to put on them in their organization. This is a handful of people, including Commissioner Hodder, who have decided for some reason that escapes my understanding to push a political agenda in an organization that is first and foremost and has always been concerned with charity. So I don't know if this is a kind of theological error that Hodder is making. I don't know if it's a PR calculation. I don't know exactly why he's doing this. Perhaps he genuinely believes that the principles of DEI do reflect what is in the Bible. And if he genuinely believes that, I would say that he's misled. And he, you know, there's plenty of resources that he could read that would disabuse him of that notion. But again, I don't know what's on the man's heart. But I do know what he said. He did say that his commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion is very important to him and his organization. And as someone who speaks for the entire army, or at least the entire army of the United States, that's a very concerning statement to make. So I don't know whether it's error. I don't know whether it's malevolence. I don't know. But I choose to see the good in the situation. I choose to think that Commissioner Hodder is simply misled on this matter. And with enough conversation from his base, he can be put back on the right track.
They're spending money on this, and it looks like they're spending a lot on it. Are they getting money for this? Do you know, has your organization done any kind of research into maybe federal grants they might be getting or state grants they might be getting? I'm always like, follow the money when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so we did look at their annual report, and there was nothing that immediately stuck out that is, you know, a little bit odd or anything like that. But, you know, the Salvation Army, their biggest kind of funding are the kettles at the stores during Christmas time in November. And, you know, last year when we raised awareness about the Let's Talk About Racism curriculum, we have evidence that there was an impact on their kettle donation. Because, I mean, that's one of the reasons why Commissioner Hodder decided to say, okay, look, let's address this, because we were really impacting the PR on the kettle season. Mm-hmm. So the power is in the hands of those who donate to the Army, many of whom are also good, God-fearing Christian people who don't like this kind of stuff. So not only for the sake of biblical accuracy, which is quite important, but also for the sake of preserving the organization's funding, the Commissioner Hodder should consider taking a hardline stance against DEI.
Yeah, because, you know, like that guy I talked to whose whole family left after their entire lives being in the Salvation Army because of the direction they were going in. I just feel like when it comes to, you know, I'm running for school board. You can see we're on Zoom right now. You can see my signs in the background. I'm running for my school board. And of course, DEI has infected our school system as well. I know you know a lot about that. And and there are parents who are leaving, pulling their kids out in droves. There are probably more to come after this election if we don't flip our board in this area. And I know that's happening across the United States. And yet the unions and people in the CRT industry are pushing this so hard, even though the majority of people don't seem to want it. They don't seem to care that they're going to drive away their base. It's almost like the philosophy has become God, and the base, you know, is just, well, we'll drag them along with us. I feel like we're in this time, Christian, and maybe this is part of why we really need an organization like Color Us United. I feel like we're in this time where leaders have decided to get a little bit dictatorial with us, and the people need to stand up and remind them that they serve us and not the other way around. I'm starting to see that across the board, because if we don't stand up, it's just these leadership are going to choose the public facing PR over their base. And it looks like that's what the Salvation Army is doing. And that's just such a shame.
Ultimately, I do believe the Army cares about its base, but I also believe that the Army thinks that these ideas are good for their overall mission, or at least when I say the Army, I mean the leadership. I think that they can, because again, if there's good, the Salvation Army, they've been battling, as you know, probably bad PR for decades surrounding LGBTQ and a bunch of other things. And they, I think part of this, if I had to theorize, they've been trying to get beyond that image and become more inclusive. And DEI is just one of many vehicles, but perhaps one of the most notable ones that can help them do that. That's probably what they're thinking. But of course, they have to understand that there is a foundation that goes beyond getting good PR. There's a foundation that the Army was built on, and they have to continue to act on. And that should matter more than if the media likes you or not. Unfortunately, a lot of decisions happen because the media don't like you. And that's a bad move for anyone in any field, in my opinion.
And it feels outsized because social media censors so many competing opinions. It can feel outsized. I think what you said about them, maybe like their revenue being down at the kettles, makes sense. Yeah. But to me, that's why you stick to your foundations. That's why you don't get into politics, because you cannot mix. I mean, it's just like it's unequally yoked. You cannot mix the gospel of Christ with the gospel of the world. They cannot go together. The whole purpose of CRT is to dismantle the American system. And the way it stands in the American system is based on faith. Our founding fathers said it. You know, John Adams, my favorite president, said this is a constitution built for a moral people, a religious people. So to get away from that, to me, it's like, you're inviting, and forgive me for my Christian listeners who might not understand some of these terms I'm using, but you're inviting like an anti-Christ, not the anti-Christ, but an anti-Christ mentality into your church. You can't work with that. So the DEI, the outcropping of that, I mean, remember when we had the summer of BLM, where Black Lives Matter was everybody, and remember they had on their website their creed, and it identified the church as right there as a problem. They eventually had to take it down because people were complaining, because Black people are religious people. Black people were like, hey, what are you doing? But they attacked the nuclear family. They attacked the church. They said, this is our goal, to dismantle this. And now this is what places like the Salvation Army are welcoming in. So you can't, these two things cannot work together. They cannot coincide. Someone's going to lose, and I hope it's not the Salvation Army.
How are we going to raise up the next generation of great American leaders and thinkers? With all of our institutions under attack, it can feel like there will be nothing left to leave our children. Join me on the Keisha King Show podcast every week, where we discuss faith, culture, and politics, all geared towards the next generation. We discuss the problems in our society, but we don't just leave it there. We are determined to find solutions. Subscribe to The Keisha King Show, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I totally agree with you. And to add on to that, all of these ideas, woke ideas particularly, they are subversive. They don't exist to create or sustain. They exist to disrupt. You know, anyone that wants to know more about this, I would encourage people to read into one of the more popular strains of wokeness as it relates to the school conversation right now, which is going to be gender theory. And then beneath that being queer theory. And then beneath that, post-structuralism and structuralism. That's like the pyramid. If you go now, if you start at structuralism and go up, you'll understand it better than if you start at gender theory and go down. But all of that stuff is built on the power of the subjective interpretation and using the subjective interpretation to override norms, because norms are oppressive and norms are evil and norms actually shackle you and keep you from freedom. Freedom is not, freedom from interference. Freedom is actually freedom to have your own perspective of the world and it be unchallenged by systems. These ideas, which you can go as deep as you want or as simple as you want, but whatever you do, you'll find, I think you'll come to a certain conclusion if you're honest about it. These ideas do nothing more than try to spoil what is already there, and they do nothing to try to replace it, nothing to try to replenish it. They want to spoil it. And what happens when you spoil soil and you don't try to replace it? Well, you don't have a good situation.
That's where we're at right now. We have soiled ground and not much can grow there. And so there are people that are trying to walk some of this some of this back. I mean, we've just been the summer of Black Lives Matter just really did a number on this country, and we're having to back up, because I think part of this issue, Christian, is that there are so many people out there who they don't want to be called monsters. They don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be called insensitive. And that's, of course, really hard when you run a charity organization and your goal is to love people. And then you've got these loud people screaming at you because you're, I can remember a few years back, the Salvation Army was getting trouble for being anti-gay. They had no anti-LGBT stuff on their site. In fact, they clarified on their site, we take everybody, regardless of who you are, who you say you are, you know, how you live. We accept everybody. Our services are for everyone, but that wasn't good enough. This is a divisive concept. This is, there is nothing in diversity, equity, and inclusion that is inclusive. It is aimed at excluding certain people. And I don't really have the patience to talk kindly about it anymore. I think it's dangerous. And I understand that there are people who are motivated by kindness. You know, they want to be kind and they don't want to be considered divisive, but this is a divisive concept. This will destroy, this will erode the basis of this society. It's an erosion. It's not growth.
Dangerous ideas should be treated with scorn and mockery.
Agreed.
At some point, you know, I studied philosophy in college. I know how to make an argument. I know how to analyze things. But sometimes, you know, human beings, we're finite creatures, and we don't have the ability to do everything in every case. And sometimes we should save our energy and just dismiss bad ideas. Because mockery also has a social effect, too, because if you are mocking an idea and enough people mock along with you, well, people will tend to say, okay, I don't want anything to do with that, because we are all inherently social beings. Now, that can be a good thing and a bad thing. If the idea is like legitimately bad and you've identified that already, okay, good. But if there's an idea that actually has merit to it and people are just mocking it, well, the same effect applies. So it's like a double-edged sword. Gotta be careful. But no, I think that these ideas, they'd be much better if they were just treated with mockery and laughed out of the institutions.
Yeah, and certainly the church. I mean, the church should have absolutely nothing to do with this. And I'm really glad that there are people that are pushing back. How have you spoken? You indicated that you've spoken to people who are Salvationists, people who are in the church. Some of them are displeased with the way it's manifesting itself in their congregations. Are there some examples that you have of people who are like, oh, this is like a bridge too far for me? Have you heard some stories like that?
Well, there is one. There was a region, a territory in the Salvation Army that, again, as mentioned in the press release, that encouraged their members to attend unconscious bias trainings. And we've heard from certain officers, particular officers, in fact, I won't name names, but we've heard that, you know, this was actually insulting to me as a Christian, as someone who actually, you know, believes in the biblical account of justice and everything. This is insulting. This is inappropriate, and this shouldn't be happening within the Army. So particular officers have come through and said, hey, that was bad. And this is not the only thing that's happening. There's other more spread out, more hidden things happening as well. So that's one example.
I think the term unconscious bias training is so deceptive, because don't you think that training people to constantly think about their unconscious bias makes them more biased, like almost like hyper, when you're hyper aware, like you're a black man Christian, so I'm sure you've had experience with this. Well, my husband and I were some of the only black people in our neighborhood here in Southern California, and sometimes my husband, he used to be a football player, so he's a large figure, will run into, a lot of times it's like a liberal, a white liberal lady, and I'll give you an example. My son, when he was a kid, he's an adult now. When he was a kid, he used to have a friend whose mom used to get really weird around my husband. She would get really giggly and almost be too nice. And she would always be trying to kind of like identify with him on a racial level. Like, oh, I saw this thing on the news, or, you know, oh, can you believe this? She didn't know our politics. Like, oh, can you believe this? And one day my husband came home from picking up our son at their house, and he was like, you know, she stood at that door and she just was like so weird. She was so giggly and like almost too nice. Like, I just wanted to get my son and go home. And she kept like trying. It was like she was trying too hard. And I was like, that's because she is very aware of the racial situation, and she's overcompensating. She's trying to make it seem like, hey, she's totally chill with this black man at her door and he's fine. But in her mind, it is something. In her mind, it does mean something. To him, it meant nothing, right? He's a guy. She's a lady. He's picking up his kid. To her, she has been made so aware of her, quote, bias as a white woman, that she spent all of her time in relationship with us trying to prove to us that she was one of us. And it had the opposite effect, I guess, is what I'm saying. Unconscious bias training has the opposite effect. I don't think it makes people less likely to be biased. I think it makes them more likely to be biased. It gives them more of a reason to keep overcompensating and proving that they're okay.
Right. Well, first of all, I'll just say I've never experienced anything like that. Never. And I've lived in suburban communities my whole life. Never something like that. That's really weird. Most I've had, that's like really like wow, some stuff right there. Anyway,
one story.
Oh God.
Yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. There's a lot.
That's a lot. But I have experienced white progressives like try to remind me of who I am. being black and everything. And I normally just say, let's stop it. I don't really, I mean, yeah, obviously I am black, but is that the most important thing about me? Not even close. I mean, I try to be someone of good character. I try to be a kind person, try to be an honest person. And those things matter more to me than my skin color. But yeah, I mean, I'm black. What does that supposed to mean? But I've had plenty of that happen to me, but that's like always been like an argument, like me, very mean, aggressive, assertive. So, but yeah, no, I think on the subject of unconscious bias, I don't really think that you can assess something that person is not really aware of, because a lot of our actions are governed by a list of things. Sometimes they're governed by our ability to reason. Sometimes it's governed by our emotions, how we're feeling at that point in time. Sometimes it's governed by our circumstances. There are 1,000 different things that govern human action. And for you to say, well, you act this way, therefore it must be this thing that you don't even know you have, is to not only give us a very impoverished, in my opinion, view of what of the motivations behind human action, but it's also to say that basically try to reject or deny free will, because we act according to all these different things. And for you to say that this thing that I'm not even aware of is controlling me, do I really have control over my actions in the first place? If we are to believe you. If we're to believe what you're saying about me. So there are many reasons I think unconscious bias is a dangerous, insulting, and ridiculous ideology. Now, biases exist. And yes, sure. I think that everybody has in-group biases, whether they be positive or negative.
Yeah.
Oh, so we don't have to delve into the unconscious to figure that out.
Right,
exist. And sometimes people act them out. And it really depends on the circumstance on if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, a lot of people, we know this from social science, prefer others who look like them to hang out and associate. Some people, a lot of folks are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will hang out with anybody who has shared values with me. But if it happens to be black people, white people, Asian people, okay, that's fine with me. But a lot of folks were raised in neighborhoods with people who look like them. And so, as naturally, Jewish people associate with Jewish people, you know, Catholics. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. And I think we have to get away from saying that this is a bad thing. No, it's not. If it's not done with prejudice in mind, and it's just like a natural thing, let it happen.
But what's so weird about it, Christian? That's a great explanation. And I totally agree with you. But what's so weird about it, and I guess this is the contradictory nature of this whole philosophy in general, is that, yes, they do disparage those human instincts, right? To group according, we're tribal. That's you know, to group according to most people marry within their race. You know, when across the globe, statistically speaking, most people marry within their faith. Like, that's just tribal and normal. So on the one hand, they're saying that is wrong and gross, but then on the other hand, they're doing stuff like, well, we need to create safe spaces for black people so that black people don't have to be around white people. And so they're engaging in their own version of segregation. While at the same time insulting people for sometimes segregating themselves based on factors that don't have anything to do with how you feel about a person based on their race. It's contradictory, and this is why we can't allow it to stand in our churches and certainly not in our schools. It causes chaotic thinking.
Beautiful, beautiful point. That's a beautiful point. I totally agree with you. Yeah, you can't in one sense decry natural association, which may lead to racial disparities or may lead to people associating people in their own in-group, and then at the same time try to create safe spaces where you only want a certain kind of person in that area. One is actually more authentic than the other. Someone marrying within their own race, just doing it as a natural thing, not anything in mind, that's more natural than you saying, okay, in this area, person X, Y, and Z is not allowed because they're a threat to us. The other is artificial, and it's literally an attempt to shut out dissent, set out conversation, and basically engage in this sort of mutual ideological like feeding ground where everyone has the same thoughts and they're not growing. It entraps them into a space where they cannot grow or challenge themselves. And that's not a place where any human being should be. Whereas if someone decides, hey, you know, I'm Jewish, I want to marry a Jewish lady. All right. I mean, if that's something that someone has in their heart and it just happens, okay, I don't think that's a bad thing. But there are a lot of folks that are like, yeah, it's a bad thing. I'm like, why? I don't get it. Personally, I don't understand. I think it's
anti-gospel. It is. I mean, yeah. These things, this is not a philosophy that can stand in the church. Church cannot tolerate it. You know, the body is either going to push it out or absorb it. And then we'll all rot.
For example, let's say that you have a Baptist church and you're a Baptist. This ideology would say, well, there's not enough representation in the Baptist church of other faiths. That's how chaotic it is. Because it's a Baptist church. It's not supposed to be represented. It's supposed to be
Baptist.
But within the church, there's a lot of diversity. There's the pastor. Sometimes there's the deacon. There's the usher. There's all kind of diversity, natural diversity that the institution needs to sustain itself. But if it was just the pastor in the church, nothing could work. People need the ushers, they need the youth ministers, all depending on how big the church is.
Right.
So that's the kind of diversity that's important and necessary. But the kind of diversity they're talking about is artificial and it's fake.
Yeah, it's fake and it's dangerous. It's a cancer and it needs to be rooted out. This is not a philosophy that America can sustain and still be a superpower. And I really appreciate organizations like yours who are working to point out some of these inconsistencies going on in our most historical institutions. That is the thing that is troubling to me, Christian, is that it's not like, okay, they're coming into this new, here's this new group, or again, everybody, y'all go back and listen to my multiple episodes on CRT. This is the philosophy behind CRT, dismantling the system, right? Dismantling the current system to rebuild it in the image of man, which is always dangerous. And that is what this does. It dismantles everything we know to be right about, you know, solidarity and unity and this country and what we're based on. And I know there's a lot of people that will be like, we're based on racism or whatever. No, we're based on higher ideals. And sometimes we've had to fight to restore those ideals to certain people who have been left out from them. But we never had to get those rights or ideals. We always had them. We just, some people were keeping us from them. And so we had those things restored. I don't look at us as fighting to gain those things. I always look at us as fighting to restore those things. But this is a philosophy that is built to dismantle. And that is why it really can't stand in historical institutions, especially. And so it does not surprise me that the CRT crowd would be targeting the Salvation Army, which has been one of the most successful charitable organizations in the history of America. And so you are, Christian, your organization has encouraged Salvationists to get involved and to send a letter to the leadership. Now, are you asking them to send comments to the national leadership or to their local leadership, or what are you asking them to do?
To Commissioner Hodder, to kindly urge him to state that DEI does not help a single poor person, and to also say that the Salvation Army will focus its efforts in areas that do not concern DEI and have nothing to do with DEI. So that's what we're asking him to do, to make that commitment that DEI does not help a single person in poverty and it is not necessary for his organization.
Do you need him to say that, or you just need him to get rid of the program? It sounds like he believes it. Is he going to say it?
We would like him to say it.
Yeah.
I mean, if he just gets rid of the program, who's to say that another program wouldn't come up?
Right.
We have to have this, the foundation challenge. We would like him to say it.
And so do you have a place where people can go and maybe see a form letter or an example of what they might write or how they might get it to him?
Yeah. So we can go to colorationite.org, and we have a section on our website where we have, it's under the petitions, where we could list all the information about the campaign. And if you guys have any questions, you can come to my email, which will be on the website as well, but it's cwatson@colorationite.org, and I'll be more than happy to help out with any of the details.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Christian. And is there anything else you want to let people know how they can get in touch with you online? Are you on Twitter? Are you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at official C Watson. I also have a YouTube channel called Christian Watson Politics. I do my own thing on there sometimes. So you can check me out on there as well.
Well, I think you should check Christian out. He is really an interesting guy, and he's a philosopher. So and philosophers are my favorite people. Y'all are nerds, but you have the we can have the best conversations. And
Absolutely,
I
absolutely.
definitely urge you to check out Christian and his work. And I wish you the best. Thank you for taking on this task, Christian. I think it is time for good people to stand up and make noise because the other side's been far too noisy for far too long without pushback. So I thank you for your service here.
No, thank you for having me, Kira. I hope to come back.
All right, no problem. All right, everybody, don't forget to check out Christian and drop a review and rating for this show as well. You know that always helps, and we'll see you next time on Just Listen to Yourself.
I pray the Lord, my soul today, that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord, my soul today, that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away.
Yeah.
So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.